Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this week, instead of doing questions, I thought I'd save them for the next episode. I still have one in the can. I was going to talk about some recent acquisitions, if I can get to them all. Okay. So I recently made a MyComicShop.com order. And I wanted to share with you what I am currently getting and why. So I picked up from Atlas Comics number 2 of Phoenix and number 3 of Phoenix. And I think there's only 3 issues. And Atlas Comics was ran from 72 to 73. And the thing that's interesting about Atlas Comics is they try to do, give creators more power than what they had at the big two. And matter of fact, I still need one Phoenix. I'm glad I looked. So I still need issue 4, which sucks because I just placed another My Comic Shop dot order. And that's not even... What the hell? It says the final issue is the protect. Ooh! Interesting. Number 4 is the protector, and I do have it. So that means I probably ordered some books I didn't need. But, So issue 2 and 3, and then 4 is titled Phoenix dot 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 Protector, and he looks different. It says the all new Protector, the most exciting new superhero. So sorry about that. I had to sneeze, and it was a loud one, but it looks like I do have all the issues, so that's good news. I completed the Phoenix the Protector, and this was had various writers, but Jeff Roven kicked it off with Sal Amedola on pencils, and then the final one was by Gary Friedrich, and seems to be the most popular one in terms of price too. And artist was Rick Estrada. So that was the Atlas Comics Phoenix, and I completed it. So what I'm a lot of times I've talked on this episode about dead universes, and this is a dead universe I'm looking to complete. I think I got a lot of the hero stuff done, but I need to get into the obscure stuff. And there's one romance thing that I actively started looking for, and I haven't been able to find it. So it might be a tough find to complete this universe, but I'm working on it, and I'm aggressively working on it because I read Grim Ghost, and I'll tell you about that when I get to it. Okay, I also picked up a one-shot from 2000 called Vanguard, Aetherial Warriors. And this one here is the final volume of Vanguard, and it only ran one issue. So now I own Volume 1, 2, all of Volume 1, all of Volume 2, and now the one-shot. I'm also looking to complete my Teen Titans run, and I'm very close. I'm within 7 or 8. And that's across the board. That's all volumes. And you'll see two of the books. I'll start with the two books I needed to complete that are more recent. From 1986, I bought Teen Titans Spotlight on Jericho, number 5. It was the only Teen Titans Spotlight I was missing, and now I completed it. We then had one issue with Sean McKeever and Jamal Igel on Teen Titans number 52 from 2007 I was missing. It was the only one, and it probably was the comic shop shorted me on it because I've always been on my pull list. So that's the only thing I could think of that happened, or it was damaged. As a matter of fact, today I went to the comic shop. five DC books that I ordered were damaged, and I'm not just talking about little damages, I'm talking about fucked up. I mean, Diamond had tears in them, they were all creased, it was incredible. So they're supposed to get replacement copies on Friday, but might have to go get them elsewhere if Diamond can't replace them. But that's probably what likely happened with Teen Titans 52. Or it could be I put it in the system and I accidentally didn't save it or something happened. So I might have two copies. But that completes all the volumes of Teen Titans with the exception of the first one. And you'll see that I am working on the first one. And I've already got like 1 through 13. I have to work on some of the ones in between. So the first one I was missing was Teen Titans number 14, and it's tight. It has a really cool cover. It says Requiem for a Titan, and it has the Titans like he's in a graveyard, and it says Quit Robin, Quit, and it looks like maybe Aqualad, Kid Flash, and Wonder Girl are dead. And he's the only one left. And he's kind of like throwing his cape down. Really cool cover, and it's a throwback to like when they have Spider-Man No More or any of those others. And in the new Teen Titans, they had a very similar cover where Robin's throwing away his Robin costume and then he comes back as Nightwing. We then have from Volume 1 Teen Titans 35. This has Robin, Kid Flash, Wonder Girl, and Speedy. And it has like a Hunchback of Notre Dame and it says Intruder of the Forbidden Crypt. And it looks like it has two people holding hands there. And it says plus Aqualad and Speedy in two solo stories. Nice one. We then have Teen Titans 38, which features the same type of cover, and it has Robin like gonna open a door, and he's like outside of a building and going inside of a drugstore, and he's like, "What's keeping Wonder Girl and Mal? I'll go see." And it looks like on the other side of the door, there's a creepy looking ghost Robin, a ghost Wonder Girl that has Wonder Girl already captured. And another ghost version of Mal that has him captured. Really cool cover. This one's really sweet. This is Teen Titans number 50, Volume 1. It's got headshots of Robin, Kid Flash, Wonder Girl, Speedy, Mal, and Harlequin. And this is the Joker's daughter, Harlequin. And what else we got? And it has like a face-off. It's got Beast Boy, Golden Eagle, Hawk and Dove, Batgirl, and Lilith going against Bumblebee, Wonder Girl, Speedy, Robin, Kid Flash, and Mal. And I don't see Harlequin on the cover, but her head is definitely on the cover. It's a Buckler cover. It says, "Look out, Teen Titans East. Here comes the Teen Titans West." And finally, issue 52, which is the Teen Titans. It has Hawk on the cover and Robin and Batgirl. I mean, sorry, yeah, it's that Batgirl, but it's that West Coast Batgirl, the one with the red and green costume. And it looks like they're fighting two people, and it says, "Fools, you're helpless against the powers. Now I destroy your city." And there's another guy that they're trying to punch, and he's like fading off into oblivion like he's a ghost or something. Really cool cover that gets me close to Teen Titans. Sorry, I am having a really bad allergic reaction somehow. I just took Harley for a walk, so might have got some pollen. We then have the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider number 53 and 82, and guess what, guys? I completed it. The whole run of the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider. On a previous episode, I talked about getting Stalkers and loving it. I even talked about the first two issues, I believe. Well, I was missing issue 3 and I was able to pick that up from mycomicshop.com finally. They didn't have it before. And really cool. They're mercenaries that are like cops for hire when cops have kind of gone the wayside in the future. And that's what they're about. Some miscellaneous I was missing. Old Man Hawkeye number 3. I was able to get a copy of that. Delta 13. I just didn't order it. Number 3. That was a Steve Niles book from IDW. The Spencer and Locke. I was missing issue 1 because I never intended to get it. And then I ordered 2, 3, and 4 and all the rest. And I said, oh shit, I never ordered 1. And I ordered it. I was missing Rogue and Gambit number 5. I picked that up because I bought 1 through 4 at the shop because they had the Mysterious X book, the one that was classified, and it turned out to be Mr. and Mrs. X. And before I read that, I wanted to read Rogue and Gambit. And I've already read the first 2 issues, and I really enjoyed it. So I decided to get those series before I started Mr. and Mrs. X. We then have from my Spider-Man collection 258, 259, and 260 and 261, and this is around the DeFalco Friends era and the Symbionite taking over Peter. I've already read 258 digitally, and now I have the print copies of 259, 260, and 261. And my goal was to get all of the DeFalco books, but I probably will get even more beyond that. So I have a long way to go on Spider-Man, but I just wanted to keep you up to date. All right. We'll then get into The Grim Ghost, and this is the second volume that came out in 2010 when they relaunched Atlas Comics. I bought number 0, 3, 4, 5, and 6 to complete that run. I've already read 0. I was kind of disappointed after reading the original series because it really didn't. Everything that I loved about the original series, the only thing they had really is the Grim Ghost and a name, and he was like on the dead side trying to protect some guy that had just died. But it didn't go into like that he was from like the 1700s and like his history, and he used to be a bandit. All the cool stuff that I loved about it, he used to rob horse carriages, and one time he robbed the wrong horse carriage. She was a beautiful young woman with her husband who was old as shit, and he robbed them. He actually killed people too. So he killed one of the guards of the stagecoach that was in the military. He was in the so they went after him after he killed this person, and he robbed her, took her like gold brooch or whatever they call them, diamond, and he robbed her husband, obviously, took off with the money. And finally, the military guys arrived because they lost their leader, their sergeant, in the stagecoach. And they went go looking for him. And they ran into this guy. And he was a well-known guy, but he turns out to be the bandit. And I forget his name, but he's got like a name like Duchesne. He's the Grim Ghost. And he wasn't a ghost at the time. He would just rob places, make a lot of money. So the young woman in the stagecoach was flirting with him as he stole the brooch. And she had a party and was said she told her husband, I'm gonna set him up. I know how to capture him. And sure enough, she did. They set him up, they were all waiting for him. And Grim Ghost came up and they unmasked him and they found out it was that guy and they hung him. And he went to hell. And this is where it was cool too, is he went to hell and then showed up. The devil brought him back. Satan brought him back in the 70s and says, you're gonna bring bad people back to me so I have souls. And you're gonna, so he had to be like a justice warrior, even though he was a bandit, go after bandits in the 70s. And that it was fascinating. I loved it so much. It was only 3 issues, but man, did I love it. And the third issue, it had him fighting another entity, Brimstone. And I was looking for indications of like, why did this company go away? I can't really find out. I really want to know, like, did the company just run out of money, or did they give up, or what? I know the second incarnation that I talked about briefly, that went out because it looks like they didn't have the right rights to take these characters. And I don't understand, because on Wikipedia it read something like Dynamite Entertainment owned them, but they haven't done shit with them. So I'm really curious to know like what the truth is behind this story. So if you guys know, let me know. But I've been trying really hard to complete my Atlas comics. And then we get into I decided I wanted to own all of the superheroes, the stuff that's from Image, and that include getting all. I've already completed most of the Youngbloods and the Liefelds Extreme Studios, and I already own. I think it used to be Eric Larson's Highbrow Studios, which is Vanguard and Savage Dragon. I own complete runs of that. I had holes in Gen 13, so I wanted to seek out Gen 13. I have most of the modern stuff that DC published when they acquired Jim Lee, but I was missing issues here and there of the original series. So I got minus one from the first volume. I got number 10, number 13, number 14, number 15, number 17, number 18, number 19, number 20, 21, 22, 25, and I had the other ones. So I still need to complete some of these, but I just wanted to let you know that Gen 13's on my queue. I then got a really important issue for me. I've been on a Legion of Superheroes kick of first appearances, and I got Adventure Comics 306, which has Superboy. Looks like he's picking up like an animated car with Ma and Pa Kent, it looks like, but I don't know if it's them. And it says, "Help, Superboy, get us back on the ground." And the car talks and says, "Ow, you ripped off my bumper. You'll pay for this, Superboy." And Superboy is saying, "These fantastic creatures have taken over the objects in Smallville. There's only one way to stop them, but I don't dare try it." And they have like an animated courthouse and a clock. And at the bottom, here's really why I wanted it. It has the Legion of Substitute Heroes, and it has the first appearance of Polar Lad, Night Girl, which was one of my favorites, Stone Boy, and Chlorophyll Kid. I also picked up issue 307, which is the first appearance of Element Lad, and it has him like he's gonna join the Legion of Superheroes on the cover, and one of the guys is looking. He says, "Legionnaires, my camera eye can project any event I've ever seen, like this fight between Superboy and Bizarro, who has a more unique power." And Element Lad says, "I have, but I dare not reveal it." And it says, "Mystery Lad." And it's got Bouncing Boy, Sun Boy, and it looks like Saturn Girl on the cover, but I can't tell because she's facing the other direction. Her costume looks a little different than I'm used to. It says, "Challenge, what is the secret power of the mystery Superboy? Superhero, sorry." So that was a big acquisition. I'm gonna need to move around to talk about the last few, so bear with me. I have to go find them. Okay. So I also am looking to complete my Dead Man issues, and this led me down a rabbit hole. I've read all of the Strange Adventures books, and it's because I have the Dead Man volumes in trade. And I almost have all the singles. I'm only missing two, but I was able to acquire Strange Adventures 215, which is the first appearance of the League of Assassins. It's a big issue. Because you learn that Dead Man died because some guy was trying to join the League of Assassins and he had to pick somebody at random, and he just randomly picked Dead Man to kill, and he was the guy with the hook that he was looking for in all these issues. And when he found all this out, he was devastated. He could have, Ramakrishna would have let him leave, but he chose, like, to stay dead because he had no purpose. Like, he's like, I died for nothing. In other words, I was just some random event and was murdered for nothing. Spectacular. Let me see if I can get my shit together on the rest of them, because they're all over the place. I talked about already picking up Grim Ghost, 1, 2, and 3. This was the original series from 1974 and 75. That was brilliant. I've already read it. I picked up Man-Bat number 1 from 1996. And what this let me accomplish is now I have every volume of Man-Bat ever published. And then I picked up, let's see here if I can get organized. There were some Spawn issues. So let me just get them in order so I can talk to them. And I read all of them, believe it or not, except for the last three, and I absolutely fell in love with them. I was like, I'm so glad. A matter of fact, it caused me to make another purchase just to get more Spawn. I'll talk about those when they arrive. But I picked up Spawn 47, 48, 50, 51, 53, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. And I've read them all except for 58 through 60. And man, these were brilliant. Oh my God, they were so good. Especially leading up to number 50. Because I just recently read something with Wanda and stuff, and the thing was amazing because Wanda, he's absolutely in love with. He sold his soul to the devil basically to come back and be with his love, and it didn't work out. He got a Symbionite, I don't know how to even say it, but it's like Venom, a suit from hell, and his corpse is pretty much rotting. And this Symbionite gives him power, but as he uses the power, he gets closer to going to hell. So Terry, which is his, Terry is married to Wanda now. Terry is Al's best friend, Al is Spawn. Best friend in the entire world. But Al thinks that Terry betrayed him, and that's why he's dead. But it really is Jason Wynn. And meanwhile, Violator is trying to get Spawn to go to hell and fail because Violator's impression is that Malebolgia, or whatever his name is, the demon in hell, should raise demons in hell to be the spawns rather than have humans become spawns. And he's upset about that. And then you got Cog, who's telling Spawn, hey man, if you use your powers, you're going to go to hell. You shouldn't use your powers. And this is around the time he started getting guns and try not to use his powers. But anyway, Al's grandma comes into the picture and she tells Al, hey man, Terry is dying. And she knows that he's his best friend, but she doesn't know the circumstances of him being a mercenary and all the people that he killed. And she said, Wanda's heartbroken. And you know what Al does? Not for the love of Terry, because he loves his wife so damn much. He goes and uses his last remaining powers to take out a brain tumor And 'cause Terry's in a coma and he's dying. And he basically has this healing, like he heals rapidly. Like the doctors are like, "What the hell happened?" Like they're it's even kind of humorous because the doctors are they just want to test Terry and find out what the hell happened. How could this person who's on his deathbed fully recover and have this tumor gone? Well, Spawn in doing that, Al went to hell and is now dealing with Malabuglia. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's the main demon, that actually created a Spawn. And then Violator is the clown that I talked about briefly. It was absolutely brutal, brilliant. I teared up a little bit. I really did. And when a comic is that powerful and that good, I'm like, fuck! I need to buy it all. I need to buy it all. And yeah, I just really excited to start reading Spawn again. And I'm closer than you think on the finishing the run. So I needed 33, which is a random odd issue. I think it's in here too, and a few others. And now I have 1 through 60 pretty much. And now I gotta work on some missing here and there. And then I gotta go upstairs into the closet that's in the guest bedroom because I have a lot of Spawn in there. And I gotta inventory it all before I make purchases beyond 100 to make sure I don't repurchase something I already have. So I have in my to-do list, I have to do that actually. So I want to complete Spawn. I want to aggressively complete Spawn because I got so attached to it. But anyway, the Dead Man stuff that I was reading digitally on my iPad at night made me go say, I gotta get some Strange Adventures and complete that run. Well, even though I've read it, I still want to complete that run, and I only need two more issues to complete the Dead Man. And then I found out the Dead Man appeared in Challengers of the Unknown towards the end of the run, and I had to go procure that. Okay, so you talk about rabbit holes. Okay, Dead Man leads me to Challengers of the Unknown. Challengers of the Unknown. Which one's like? I forgot I had Spawn 33. It was just a random issue I somehow missed. But I bought 74. I already had most of these issues, but these are the ones I was missing towards the end of the run. 74, 79, 81, 83, and 84. So the rest of them I already had towards the end of the run. So this like completes a good run towards the end of the run of when the challengers were revitalized from the past. And this let's see, yeah, 79 was a reprint. But 74 had Dead Man in it, and this issue got me hooked. Bam! It got me hooked wickedly. And I want to tell you who the team is on this one because it was absolutely fantastic. This is my favorite of the Challengers books. It was by Denny O'Neil with art by George Tuska and Neil Adams. Tell me about that, man. And it opens up with Dead Man kind of being a host, but it talks about the Challengers of the Unknown, Rocky, he's kind of like a wrestler guy. And plus, they showed up in Teen Titans Go, which was Go to the Movies, which is a very funny movie. Teen Titans Go is pretty amazing because there's so many callbacks to DC fans, and absolutely love it. But this one issue is fantastic because some private investigator wants them to go help a professor who lost his daughter. She's in a coma, but they kind of like somebody, a ghost supposedly stole her spirit and put it into a box, like a Pandora's box kind of thing. And And he's like, Challengers, I need your help. Can you help this professor? He's been arrested for, I can't remember, he had to rob some jewel to pay some ghost to save his daughter. Well, the guy that he paid is not a ghost. He's astral projecting his spirit out like he is a ghost, but he's not a ghost. And the challengers go to find this box. Just coincidentally, a dead man's involved. Later, he gets involved. But the challengers go to get this box to help this girl and reunite the box with the girl who's in the coma and hopefully bring her back. That's what they're told anyway. And while the father's in prison, and they go to try to bring her back, and they drop the box and it shatters, and they're like, oh fuck, we failed. Enter Dead Man. Okay, so Dead Man like finds out what's going on. He enters the corpse of the ghost, he takes him out, pretty much bans him to eternity, and is able to get the spirit of the girl from the astral projection guy and bring her back and reunite him with the father, and the father gets out of prison. But it was an amazing issue. I loved it. And it caused me to reread all the other challengers. I hate tape on books, especially when they're dual taped, because they make it really hard to put the book. I usually single tape down the middle. The downside is that some of the flaps will crease upwards if you don't use double tape, but it's a lot safer on the book, pulling the book in and out of the tape. And then I read Challengers of the Unknown 79, which was a reprint, Jack Kirby stuff, okay? And 79 collected Challengers of the Unknown number 2. It was the first story was number 2, and the second story was number 3. I mean, sorry, the second story was from issue number 1 of Challengers of the Unknown. The first story was pretty amazing. It was about a guy who had an element machine that could pretty much do anything, kind of like Firestorm, you know, like create from a non-organic something out of something else. And he was using it to fight the challengers, and the challengers had to go to a professor and get the same abilities. And Ace, who's the astronaut challenger, got the same abilities, and they had to go head and head to take out this villain called Rock. Okay, there is a challenger called Rocky, and he's a wrestler, adventurer. He's like the strong guy. There's Red, who is an electronics expert and mountain guy, and there's Professor, who's really smart, and he does a lot of undersea abilities. Like he's just good at undersea diving and stuff like that. Really fantastic. Second story dealt with a sphere arriving on Earth, and the challengers got into that sphere, and it took them to some other planet. And they were little tiny objects in a child's toy box, basically. And they had to figure out a way to get back home. And the way they were able to do that is by telling on the parents about them taking these kids from another planet, I mean, taking the challengers on another planet by setting off an alarm. And they go in and they find these little creatures, and they punish their kid, like, why did you take these earthlings? And they send them back home. So that was the challengers. And then we got into a really interesting one with 81. And this one, I think, is Jerry Conway is I'm gonna just bring it up instead of pulling them out of the tape. I'm just gonna pull up my database. So let's pull it up. It's always fun to pull this up anyway and see how close I am to everything. I want to complete everything. I just love comics so damn much. So I'm only missing 82, and I know I've read 82, and I know that Alan New Mutant owns this one, because I was at one of my first conventions when he bought this, and he told me about this issue, and it's the only one that I'm missing. So I do need to acquire that. In these series, there is a female challenger. Her name is June, and she's really interesting. I like her. The challengers need a female presence, in my opinion. It keeps like better stories. So this one, they actually fight Multi-Man, and if you remember from the Justice League Quarterly, Multi-Man was from Justice League Antarctica, I think. And he has the ability, when he dies, he comes back with different powers. Very much like Resurrection Man. So, but he's sort of a villain, and he fought the Challengers a lot. And in this one, they have to take out Multi-Man, and he's got the ability to teleport and grow in size. And it's really tough for them to take him on. But they do manage to defeat him. And in the course of the in the process of that, they find out that Professor is actually dying. He's got some virus alien disease, and you find out in subsequent issues what that is, and it involves Swamp Thing and Dead Man. Swamp Thing at the time is Alec Holland, okay? And the interesting thing about this is I've read like all of the first, I own the first volume. I don't know if I read every single issue, but I have it all. And there's a time where his love interest, it wasn't the one you all know, but her name, I think her name was June or May or something like that. She was a scientist as well. And her br his brother, Alec's brother, actually got him on some drug that let him become human again. And he was able to, like, one of these rich guys who's been trying to join the Challengers forever, and I forget what his name is. They treat him like shit, but I don't know if it's because he's a dick, but in the issues I read, he wasn't too much of a dick. He found out just on the computer that Professor was dying, and he's like, holy shit. And he did research on his own to track down Alec Holland and say, oh, this guy's been doing this stuff with plants, and I think I could help. It could help the professor, and they call him Prof, could help him out. And he goes out and seeks out Alec Holland, and Alec Holland comes, and they sort of try to help him out. Alec has to turn back to Swamp Thing because the cure that they had was only temporarily. He turns back to Swamp Thing and gets possessed by this alien group that actually has to do with the virus that's in the professor, and they take over Swamp Thing, but then Dead Man comes and kind of saves the whole fucking day. He enters in all these bodies, he enters in Professor and is able to expel the alien virus and cure the professor. But that was issues, let's see, 81, 83, and 84. And the creative team on that was Jerry Conway and Keith Giffen. Giffen's art looks very much in a different style too. It's very much of art of that time. His art style's changed dramatically from like every 5 years, Giffen's art looks different to me. But really fantastic. I only need to pick up 82, which I think I forgot to do, which sucks. But I did order like 73 and 72 just to get some of those 15-cent issues that that's where the shit was happening, man, that I was loving. So that I think sums up everything that I bought. Maybe. Yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. But I have another order to talk about recently, and that's coming in, and I will be talking about those procurements. And I'm just going to go through some of the trades that arrived. I got back issue 106, which is talking about the Golden Age heroes and the Bronze Age. It's going to be fantastic. It talks about All-Star Comics, the 70s revival, Justice Society of America, the All-Star Squadron interviews, which was one of the most amazing series. I have a full run of that. Joni Thunder, aka Thunderbolt, and the Spectre in the 80s and 90s. And I own all the Spectre volumes. I own all the All-Star Squadron. I own all the All-Star comics that were from the 70s. Obviously, I don't owe them going back, but I do have some of the archives of the Golden Age stuff. And I think I own Joni Thunder. I'm gonna be pissed if I don't. Let's check that out. Joni Thunder. I own a full run of that. So, I'm on top of shit. My goal is to try to get every comic there's known to man, because I get excited just about everything. So that back issue came in with my latest DCBS shipment. I'm not going to talk about all the comics, but there's about 60 comics with it. I got the Fantastic Four Epic Collection, Volume 3. I got Bloodshot Salvation. I triple dip on the Valiant still. I haven't stopped. I got the new Teen Titans. This is Volume 9. I've been collecting that in trade. I have all the original issues of the new Teen Titans, but I'm double dipping there. This one I don't have a full run of singles, but I decided to, even though it's quite expensive, from 2000 AD, get the Alan Moore, Ian Gibson, Ballad of Halo Jones. This is Volume 2. I have Volume 1. The Silver Age Flash Omnibus Volume 3 arrived. It arrived a little late because DCBS was shorted on it, and they sent me an email and said, "Hey, we'll get it on your next shipment." And then I got a cool ass magazine I forgot I ordered. I don't even know who the publisher of this is. It's called Comic Book Implosion, an oral history of DC Comics circa 1978 by Keith Dallas and John Wells. And here's the description. Things looked bleak for comic books throughout the 70s because of the plummeting sell-through rates, which each passing year the newsstand became less and less interested in selling comic books. The industry seemed locked in a death spiral, but the powers that be at DC Comics had an idea to reverse their fortunes. In 1978, they implemented a bold initiative, both provide readers with more story pages by increasing the price point of regular comic book to make it comparable to other magazines sold on the newsstand, so raising the price. It's billed as the DC Explosion. This expansion saw the introduction of numerous creative new titles, but mere weeks after its launch, DC's parent company pulled the plug, demanding a drastic decrease in the number of comic books they published and leaving stacks of completed comic book stories unpublished. The series of massive cutbacks and cancellations quickly became known as the DC Implosion. Tomorrow's publishing marks the 40th anniversary of one of the most notorious events in comics, with an exhaustive oral history from the creators and executives involved: Janet Kahn, Paul Levitz, Len Wein, Mike Gold, and Al Milgrom, among many others, as well as a detailed analysis and commentary by other top professionals who were just fans in 1978, such as Mark Waid, Michael T. Gilbert, Tom Brevoort, and more, examining how it changed the landscape of comics forever. This is gonna be so good to read. I'm just thumbing through it, and it just looks fucking amazing. I am gonna learn a fuckload on it. Like, even like just thumbing through this, Vixen was gonna have her own comic book. She was launched in Action Comics. I have her first appearance. I could actually see the cover here. It's like Vixen is a Lady Fox number one. It's really cool. It has a Sergeant Rock cover, a Mr. Miracle. Man, there's just so much in this thing. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be back with the weekly reads. Barb's on her way from yoga. So I'm gonna wrap this one up and then come back probably tomorrow with the conclusion to this episode. I was gonna do a DC spotlight on the challengers, but man, I might as well just keep on doing the Mike M's, you know? I might do another DC podcast on the DC Noise feed soon. I have we're going to talk about Man of Steel, I believe. Me and Kyle coming up soon, so that'll be coming up there. There, I just released two episodes of Collector's Corner, one with Aaron Myers and one with Bill Bear. And I have another Mike Ems in the can, which I'm going to try to release tonight. But I want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy these. Let me know what you think. If you have ideas, questions, or comments, please let me know. I'll read them online. And I didn't forget about you, Curtis. I believe I still owe you a Batman 100-page giant. I have your address all ready to go. And I just need to get off my ass and print out postal for send to Canada. So I'll talk to you again in a bit. I hope you enjoyed this. And I'll be back with the final comics I read for that week and wrap this guy up. So thank you for listening. And we will talk to you very, very soon. All right. And I'm back. This is episode 100, and I didn't do anything special. You know why? 'Cause I'm fucking lazy. I got a lot of ideas to do stuff special, but I record when it's convenient for this podcast, and it's usually convenient when I'm available. That doesn't mean everybody else is available. So, I never did anything special. We got the first part of the recording, which I talked about recent purchases. I found out that there was a Spawn 77, and I was having trouble finding it because it was at a reasonable price. I was like, I asked around, I'm like, why is this such a popular book? And I guess it has something to do with Cog, which is kind of like the old man who's there for Spawn and trying to teach him not to go to hell, what he needs to do, and stuff like that. I guess this issue has to do with him. It features Spawn and Wings. Well, that arrived today. Yesterday, Peacemaker 1 through 5 arrived, minus 2. Okay, so it didn't have 2, but it came with 2 from Modern Comics. So Modern Comics reprinted a lot of Charlton comics back in the day. And I used to pick up the modern version. I didn't pick up too many Charlton comics. They were kind of out before I was really, really into comics. But I did pick up some modern comics, and they were reprints. And I remember getting them at Kmart, which is a weird place to get comics. But for some reason, they stocked on the modern comics. There wasn't any DC or Marvel. But they stocked up on modern comics. And this particular group came with 1 and 2 of the Peacemaker series. So I have all the Peacemaker comics. And there hasn't been a lot of them. Like, I think he appeared in Fighting Five, which I'm still working with somebody that might have a dupe. Kirk is his name, and he's into war comics. And seeing if he has a dupe of that particular issue, and if he has, then I'm gonna buy it from him. But it's the first appearance of Peacemaker. But as far as Peacemaker goes, he only has like 2 volumes. He has got a mini series that came out right after Crisis, and he has 5 issues with Fighting Five backups, and Charlton. So there's not a lot of Peacemaker out there. However, he did appear in Checkmate and some of the other series that I remember. I can't think of where else I've seen him. But I have all of his appearances minus the first one. So why did I get that? I don't know. I was like a spur of the moment opportunity. And I was in my database, and I play in my database a lot, which is just looking up titles and sometimes randomly just poking around the alphabet and say, I don't have this. I gotta order it. Sometimes it's more focused, like mycomicshop.com order. I did go to Walmart today and tried to get the number twos, and they had just restocked up on the number ones, so I don't know when to expect the number twos of the 100-page giants. I think I'm going to be patient and wait a week and probably go like next Friday and check it out before work. I like to go before work because there's not a lot of people at Walmart at that time, and I just go right up and check to see if they have what I'm looking for. But so that's what came in recently. Those last two purchases were eBay. The Spawn one was on sale in fine condition for like over $20 at mycomicshop.com, that Spawn 77, and I was like, that's a little too much. So that's when I went to eBay. And I still need to get up to the basement. God, I wish I had like a week off. I would like write myself a schedule of what to do. But one of the things that I want to do is go up to my spare bedroom and inventory those comics, 'cause they're uninventoried, and it's a whole closet full of comics. There's a lot in there. Some of the DCs on the right side are inventoried, but everything else is not. And why I really want to do this is because I'm super into Spawn right now, and I want to make sure I don't buy something I already have, and I know there's Spawn up there because the indie section I haven't gone through. I have another closet in the bookcase room, which is a total fucking disaster right now, 'cause it's got trades. It's got four bookshelves, okay? They're stacked. They're all full with trades and paperbacks. And they're in the logical order 'cause I did sort them. But then I started to go on this like collected edition tear, and I'm still kind of on it. And I've been stacking them. I stacked them on. There's a desk in there, and then there's like a nice like wooden file cabinet that has some shelving in there, and that has some like collected editions on there and omnibuses stacked just one high, and that's not a tall cabinet. And then on the floor, you can't even walk in there now, but stacked about waist high in the whole room are trades and paperbacks. They have some kind of order. They're kind of stacked in DC, Marvel, and other. And at some point, I need to get in there, move everything out, have somebody come pick up that desk and file cabinet, and then I gut it, and then I throw up like five or six more shelves, and then I'll get most of the stuff off the floor. And then I'll stack stuff logically. And I bought like these cool boxes for trades that work really good for the Epic Collection. And I like the way they store them. They have Marvel characters on the cover. But they're so goddamn heavy. But other than that, they're pretty doggone nice. So, before I go off in other tangents, I want to go through these books that I read for December 4th, 2017 through December 10th, 2017. And during that week, there were 35 comics. That's a pretty good size read. But I mean, that's a good week when I do like 35 to 40 comics read a week. The downside to that is I'm getting 60 to 80 comics a week. So you could tell like the fire hose is turned on in the room, and I'm scooping water out, but I'm eventually gonna drown. All right, so let's start at the three out of fives. This is the all new Guardians of the Galaxy 1 through 6. The Guardians steal for the Grandmaster, who blackmails them to steal for his brother, the Collector. I love when they have the Collector and Grandmaster involved in stuff, and I think this is what drew me to read this because I've been really into the Elders of the Universe, and anytime they show up, like they recently showed up in Avengers, and they're in a contest of champions, and I'm just fascinated with them. This team is dysfunctional. Groot is not healing. Someone is growing parts out of him for an evil Groot. Gamora is keeping secrets, and she is looking for the Infinity Gem and makes a deal with the Collector. They break into the Collector's fortress. Drax is useless as a total pacifist. This is what's interesting, is Drax, a warrior, is totally a pacifist now. Like, he doesn't want to fight or do anything in anger. He's just like chilling out. More on Gamora and her possible deal with the gem, for the gem. So that was a 3 out of 5. Enjoyed it. We then get to Batman 676 through 683, and this is Grant Morrison Batman. I reread R.I.P. And what I could say is I enjoyed the art and elements of the story, but I still consider this to be a hot mess. It's like there's little like glimpses of greatness, and it's like you're throwing it against the wall, and it's like pow, 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 and then you're gluing the pieces together in your own mind because it's just not fluent. And that's what I never liked about Grant Morrison Batman. Some of the stuff is just really surreal, and it's weird for somebody that's so grounded in reality as Batman. Even when this is the time when he's getting close to Final Crisis and that weird shit about the God Bullet and all that stuff. It's just weird, man. And I understand that some people get like extra stuff out of it, and there is a lot of depth, and there's density, and there's a lot to be enjoyed. But it's sort of not for me. But I still gave it a 3 out of 5 because the art was good. I still had pieces of the story that, in my mind, were like 5 out of 5. And then the rest, I was just like, oh yeah. So I kind of dropped it to, hey, I like it, but I don't really like it. So it's one of my least favorite takes of Batman. We then get into Sensational She-Hulk 2 and 3. This was when I was reading a lot off of my iPad at night. I was having trouble sleeping. I haven't had trouble sleeping lately. If I do get up, it's around 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and I usually just go to the restroom and then I go back to bed. But at this time, I was having a lot of trouble sleeping, and I was reading a lot of things digitally. And a lot of these digital purchases came into physical purchases. I already had Sensational She-Hulk, though, so I didn't have to purchase this. I do have to complete this collection, though, and it is in my queue to do it. This is the Headman, and they're one of my favorites from Defenders. They're such a weird group. They all have weird heads. And, they hire Mysterio to capture She-Hulk, and he succeeds, but they con him with fake money. They detach She-Hulk's body for another headman, and or lead you to believe that they did in the panels. And then Spider-Man comes to the rescue, and they defeat the headman. That was a 4 out of 5, so that started the 4 out of 5s, which means I really liked it. We then get DC Universe Holiday Special 2017. This is a great anthology series to get you into the holiday spirit. We had Superman, Hellblazer, and Bibbo, a Batman Wonder Woman story, an Atomic Knight story, Teen Titans, Batman with an old woman and son, a Sergeant Rock story, a Flash and Swamp Thing, and a Green Arrow and Black Canary. This was like a these are expensive, but they're fun if you've always enjoyed these kind of holiday specials as I did. They're like $9.99. We then have Star Wars number 8 and 10, Volume 1 of Marvel. These ones I don't own physically, but I've been reading these in the omnibus. So I have the omnibus collections of these. I do have a few of them, but I would say it's less than 10 Star Wars Marvel comics. Maybe sometime that'll be fixed. And I have a lot of the Dark Horse representation stuff, and I have most of the stuff, if not all, in I think the three omnibus volumes of Star Wars. So it's not that I don't have them, I just don't have the physical copies. Han Solo and Chewie are hired to defend farmers, food, and property and women from space pirates. It's kind of like a Magnificent Seven story, but the pirate and most of the men taken out by a monster that a shaman conjures up. So it's like a Magnificent Seven. He gets this band of misfits together, and it turns out to be this shaman that actually takes out these pirates. The monster kills the shaman too, and then the team has to take out the monster. So they originally intended to take out the pirates, but they ended up taking out the monster that the shaman drew up to defeat the pirates. And then Luke goes on a mission to find another safe place for the Rebel Alliance. Good stuff. We then have all new Guardians of the Galaxy 7 and 8. The reason Drax became a pacifist. He killed these slavers to free them, but when the slaver's heart stopped, so did all of the slaves. So essentially, he feels guilty because he was trying to rescue slaves. But the actual slaver, when his heart stopped, it killed all of the other slaves. So he feels guilty for that. It's a fight with the Raptors as they fight over Captain Marvel bands for Rocket. This is Captain Marvel, like the one that died of cancer, those bands. I think they're called the Nega Bands or something like that. And Rocket's injured as they fight for the life as he's poisoned during the fight. We then have all new Guardians of the Galaxy Annual number 1. It's a Secret Empire tie-in. This one I enjoyed as the team has to break out Yondu to get a tuning fork off of Galactus's head in the Bermuda Triangle part of space. So that, like, there's a space that's like Bermuda Triangle where things just go missing. Mantis tells them this will help them break down the shield that Cap is using to keep the space heroes from returning. So this is the they're trying to find that fork on Galactus's head to try to break there. Right now there's a shield over Earth, and like Captain Marvel and the space guys Alpha Flight and some of the Guardians of the Galaxy can't penetrate Earth because of the shield that Cap put there. That's how it ties into that Secret Empire. Yondu and the Ravengers betray Quill, but they manage to get the upper hand once Gamora comes back after being ejected by Quill. The tuning fork is broken once they get it. The fifth issue is a standalone Peter Quill story about music. That was weird. We then have another Marvel issue. I don't know if I own this physical copy of this, but it is one of my dead universes I want to finish at one point. It's called Psi-Force. It's the new universe. And when the new universe came out, I don't own it, by the way. I own one copy of Psi-Force, and it's number 12. But it had 32 issues and one annual, one trade, ran from 1986 to 1989. And it was by Steve Perry, not probably not the singer from Journey, and Dan Fingerworth with art by Max Texiera, which that's pretty awesome. You got some Mike Vosburgh and Bob Hall on art too, so that's cool. But I read number one. I rated it a 4 out of 5. So a Native American unites a bunch of teenagers who have psi powers to save them from the Russians. Particularly one girl who is a healer. It's a new universe book, which I really liked. We have Death Sentence number 6. Verity and Weasel take down Monty after he kills some people in London and then takes out the US fleet. So this is a really cool story about sexually transmitted diseases that give people superpowers, but it also gives them a clock and a timer that they're gonna die. The other one is from Fantagraphics. It's a Charles Forsman book. I am not okay with this graphic novel. A girl that is loner and confused about her sexuality has the power to make people's heads explode. Her dad has PTSD when she was young and implies he asked her to kill him. She lives alone with her brother and mother, who she doesn't get along with. She kills her best friend's boyfriend and then decides to take her own life. It's a pretty depressive story. But Charles Forsman tends to make those stories pretty sad. We then have Captain Marvel Volume 4. No, sorry. Captain Marvel Number 4 Volume 1. The Kree Monitor in space redirects a missile that the US fires back at them. It contains a viral threat. Namor goes to stop it, but is confronted by Captain Marvel, who has to pretend he is supporting the Kree. But he has become attached to the Earth. I don't remember reading that one. Some of these I rank pretty high, and I don't remember them. I wonder what that says. We then get into the 5 out of 5. We got Warlock and the Infinity Watch, number 1 through 5. Also reading this digitally. Haven't started seeking these out in physical copies yet. I do own, I don't know, about a third of the collection. Let me check out what I own. Warlock and the Infinity Watch. I own 1 through 24 continuously. So I read this before, and I still need to get 25 through 42 and then complete it. It's really not that much. They're probably not expensive books. It doesn't look like there's any key. Well, 25 has a die cut cover. That looks pretty cool. I like it. It has Warlock and Thanos on the cover with Thor enslaved. That's interesting. So Warlock's on trial because he has all the Infinity Gems. He distributes them to Moondragon, Drax, Pip the Troll, and Gamora. Keeps one for himself and one for an unknown being, which I don't remember. They never revealed him yet, and I've read further into this. The separate, I don't know what I said there, so I'll just skip it. Warlock seeks help from the High Evolutionary, but he has lost his mind, and Man Beast turns out to be the Omega. Not Man Wolf, Man Beast, who's a early Warlock villain. They separate. Oh, I said that they separate like the Moondragon and Drax, but the Omega captures them. So that's like the Infinity Watch. I think it's to keep the gems from being in one place at the same time, although they kind of reluctantly just went off their own way while Warlock was on his own, and then the Infinity Watch kind of went back to Earth. They went on a plane and their plane crashed on Earth. It was a really good story. The next one is from Paper Dreams. This is a really cool comic. It's short stack, Tales of the Superhuman Plumber. Jay Straczynski and his brother Drew do it. The art, it takes a little getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's freaking so different and so artistic and really works with this book. It's kind of like a Picasso art style. I like to say that because every painting looks like something Picasso would draw. But the tale is really grounded, and this is number 6. Short Stack rescues several people after the tank attack on a church from the previous issue. He wants to be on the down low because of the deaths of the 100 people that accuse him of that so many years ago. The reporter and Harry's friend get into it to find a boy who outed his secret identity in the truck. So there's a little boy there. The boy lights the car on fire. The FBI is after Short Stack, but the firemen say they never saw him because the people he saved at this particular instance on the tank. So it's like he's wanted, but since he saved all these people from that tank, the firefighters looked the other way and they're like, we didn't see nobody. It was a really cool story. And this kid is really weird. Like, he was in the trunk a lot. But he found out who Harry was, the superhuman plumber, and it got ugly as the reporter was there too. So we have Batman, Shadow 5 through 6, the Stag and Joker open the door to Shambhala, on the road to Shambhala, as the teachers want Batman to become the next Shadow, but he refuses. That's kind of what this story is about, which is awesome. And typical crossovers with other companies, they usually take the Shadow villain, which is the Stag, and he actually was introduced in an annual, I believe it was. I believe it was Batman Rebirth Annual Number 1, written by Steve Orlando. And then they took this out and then they developed it into this crossover. So the Stag is meant to be the Shadow villain. Joker's obviously the Batman villain. And the whole story revolves around the Shadow wanting to pass the mantle off to Batman, which is very interesting in itself. The only way to keep the Stag from destroying Shambhala is to destroy a device that will close the dimension to Shambhala and banish the teachers. The Shadow makes that call. So it didn't end well, but they stopped. The Shadow remained the Shadow, and Batman remained a Batman. Batman did not become the Shadow. And then it's continued in the Dynamite version of that, which is the Shadow Batman. So that concludes the 5 out of 5. So again, the 5 out of 5s for that week were Warlock and the Infinity Watch 1 through 5, Savage Dragon, which I forgot to mention. I don't remember talking about this. So Savage Dragon 19 through 21 are also 5 out of 5s. Rapture thinks Savage Dragon is sleeping with Rita, that's the cop, but he's not. He defeats the entity called the Fiend that took over the mother that blames Dragon for killing her daughter. That was weird because he was kind of sleeping with the daughter and she was young. There's some weird sex stuff in there. They lose a lot of cops. As they find out who the Overlord is from Cyberface, but Dragon kills him at the end as he was Antonio Serengeti. So that Savage Dragon 19 through 21 were 5 out of 5s. Rereads, obviously. These were reread in black and white. Short Stack Tales of the Superhuman Plumber number 6. Not available on previews, but if you ever see Jay at a convention, you will be able to order it in trade. I think trade is 1 through 4, and then he's got singles of 5 and 6, and hopefully he's got a 7 coming soon. And then Batman Shadow 5 and 6. That concludes that week. I'm gonna do one more week, which is December 11th through the 17th of 2017. I read 36 comics that week, 1 Valiant, 2 Titan, 24 Marvels, 7 DC, 1 Amigo, and 1 Action Lab. We'll start at the 2 out of 5s. This is Supergirl Rebirth 10 and 11. They're in the Phantom Zone trapped, but they're able to escape with the help of powerful beings in the Phantom Zone. The first prisoner wants to kill them, but they manage to escape with Sai's help. She's one of the characters in the book at this time. Didn't like it. Supergirl was really good in New 52, and it's one of those books that got worse, in my opinion, when Rebirth came. Lost its way. But I'm behind in it, so I know creative teams have changed and maybe things are different right now. We then have 3 out of 5s. We have Batman and Robin Adventures number 11. I don't own this one. I read it in trade. So I own the Batman and Robin Adventures, which has 3 volumes out right now. It's the first volume. Alfred and Dick think the mansion and cave may be haunted, but it turns out to be Man-Bat, who is seeking food and shelter. So for you Man-Bat fans who want to read some more comics with them. Get Batman and Robin Adventures, which was a sort of a all ages book. We have From Valiant Eternity Number 2, Abraham and Mishka go looking for their son. Their son is supposed to be the new observer. Krakor kidnaps the kid because he does not want the observer keeping balance between the past and the future. Very New Gods kind of vibe to this right now. And at this time, it didn't really work for me at a high level, but I enjoyed it. We then have Batman 36. This is the Tom King run. We have Batman and Superman struggle with relationship with each other as Batman does not want to tell Superman he is getting married. We then jump into the 5 out of 5s. We have Batman and Robin Adventures Annual Number 1. This is Phantasm is back to try and stop the murder of Batman. And if you, I saw this at the theater. It was Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. That's kind of where this is kind of taken off from. We then have Apocalypse Girl from Amigo. This is a girl meets others as she tries to survive in the world of beasts, angels, and others in a post-apocalyptic setting. She talks with her mom, who is a mummy, or she thinks she is alive. I don't know what I mean by that. Or she thinks she's. I gotta be clear when I write this shit up, or at least proofread what I read. I usually write these things up in the middle of the night, though. We got Star Wars number 11. This is continuing from volume 1. Leia captured by a pirate that stole Han's money on a Star Destroyer. Han promises him more money as they try to lead him to Luke Skywalker, who is missing on a planet looking for a new rebel base. Luke and the droids trying not to be eaten by some sea beast. This one I do own because I remember the sea beast. I think on the cover, and Luke is on a raft with C-3PO. We then have Warlock in the Infinity Watch number 6. Warlock tricks Man-Beast in destroying his own ship, which now crashes into Earth, but Warlock reunites the team because they were separate. We talked about that just a while ago. We have Supergirl number 12, which went from a 2 out of 5 to a 3 out of 4 out of 5. That's a big jump. A new Fatal 5 is after Supergirl as her powers start going nuts. The story got me excited again for this title, so this, I don't remember if creative team switched, but it had the Fatal Five in it, and it was really interesting. We have Imaginary Fiends. A girl is killed by her friend, and then was committed to a prison. You find out her imaginary imp told her to kill her friend. A government agency knows these things exist and asks her help because she can see these creatures in exchange for her freedom. We then have Captain America, Volume 4, Number 1 through 16. I went on a tear. This is the Marvel Knights run. This is Captain America deals with the 9/11 and kills terrorists. I think this was around the time the documentary came out, and I wanted to revisit because Captain America killed a terrorist. That's kind of a big deal. Trying to find out a mystery behind the mysterious dog tags, Cap takes down that terrorist at the end. He then goes to live in the hood and tries to make peace with the gangs, but S.H.I.E.L.D. won't leave him alone. They mention an old friend of his, and he is off to Florida. A man losing his ideals for who he works for and is starting to question everything. Cap finds out the government may have kept him frozen the whole time because of his ideals. He stops his Native American friend with the help of Hana and Atlantean girl. The Lemurians want to capture Cap and realize he was being used, but they are defeated. He falls in love with Hana. This was very interesting. And she was trained by Namor to help Cap, so it was a ruse. It wasn't real true love, even though Cap was falling in love. Then it goes into a story arc where the Nazis won the war with art by Lee Weeks. Really spectacular, 4 out of 5. We have A1, which is an anthology from Titan. The first story of with many characters like Alice in Wonderland, but it has Dr. Doolittle, a Jungle Book analogy, as Alice's father is experimenting on a lot of animals, a strange spy story as the fight. They have to fight an Iron Chef, and then it has a super soldier story with mysticism. So there was a three-story arc. Beautiful cover. If you ever get a chance, look up A1, number one from Titan. Matter of fact, all their covers are pretty phenomenal. We have Quarry's War, number one, Hard Case Crime. Two guys are watching a mobster's house looking for an opportunity to kill him. Also has some Quarry flashback where he is a sniper in Vietnam. I gotta finish that. That was excellent. So good. Matter of fact, it led me to watch the Cinemax thing called Quarry, and I actually bought the novel, although I haven't started it yet. We then get into five out of fives, which were Marvel Knights 4. This is the Fantastic Four Marvel Knights version, 1 through 6. The FF have lost all their money in the Baxter Building and need to find jobs to find out how to survive like normal everyday people. Very unusual story, but it worked for me like super well. I gotta go get Harley out. She's outside in the heat, so she's gonna be extra crispy. And we're almost done on this Friday episode. We're getting to the end here. The last 5 out of 5 was from Action Lab. It's Harcourt Legacy. A girl and her family go to her great uncle's house because he is dying, and he wants to get rid of his house and magic artifacts and sell them to an old rock star. He bonds with the girl and wants her to inherit what is really magic. So it was a really solid first issue. It even ended well. Like we read the whole thing on Geek Brunch, and it was a really good read. So the 5 out of 5s that week were Marvel Knights 1 through 6. I know they're recollecting this stuff too in a different trade dress, so keep an eye out for it. I know they, I think in the latest previews, Captain America 1 through 6, I believe, Marvel Knights is being collected. We have, and then Harcourt Legacy, number one. So those were the 5 out of 5s. I want to thank you for listening. We're almost into the 2018. I want to thank you for those of you who have stayed with the show for 100 episodes, or any of you that have joined any time. And you can always go listen to old episodes on iTunes. Unfortunately, you have the last 50, and I average about 4 podcasts a week, maybe 3 podcasts a week, but that hits 50 soon. So if you want older episodes, you have to go to the website, you know, and go to older episodes, and you'll be able to find all the podcast episodes there. I hope you enjoy these. I hope you enjoyed Mike Them Collector's Corner, and I hope you enjoy Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retro. And we'll talk to you soon. My email, if you want to send me any kind of email, I'll be glad to read it on this show. It's Mike at comicbooknoise.com. At Twitter, you can always reach me that way at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's MYERS, like the serial killer in Austin Powers. You can go to the website, geekbrunchpodcast.com, leave feedback there. And also on Facebook, we're located. We have a page there called Geek Brunch Podcast, which hosts all of the 4 podcasts that are on that feed. So I hope you enjoyed the 100 episodes, and we will talk to you again very, very soon. Peace out.